You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
We are continuing our series. The last one in our four-part series, we kind of hopped on board with Bell Canada, not promoting them, but in talking about, let's talk about mental health issues. Let's talk about the struggles we here in church and outside of it in our city and in our country struggle with. So the last one in the series today, I'm just calling Roots. And, in 1977, ABC, American Broadcasting Network, aired a miniseries. And there it is. It was called Roots. And it was an 8-part series, and they actually did something that had never been done before. They aired this series 8 consecutive nights. So in January 1977, from the 23rd to the 30th, no, I don't remember the dates, so I do remember the program. I am old enough. But they aired this program based on a book by a man named Alex Haley, an African-American who had studied the roots of his own family back to his family's origins in Africa through the slave trade in the United States and to where his family was in 1977. This series was unprecedented. They said between 100 and 130 and 140 million Americans. It was aired here in Canada too, but we're just talking American statistics. 130 and 140 million Americans were watching this show at any one time. Understand, the population of the U.S. at that time was about 270 million. Nielsen, that people that rate television ratings, they said 46-point-something% of all American households were tuned in. Now, there was no Netflix, there were no VCRs, there were no DVRs, there were no any other VRs. You had to watch it. And you didn't know if it was ever going to be aired again. You had to watch it, and people were glued to this. Now, looking back, if you Google this, if you read things about it, it's still, people scratched their head and said, what was the connection? Was it completely historically accurate? Nah, maybe not. Did it show a pretty nasty time in U.S. history? Absolutely. And some pretty brutal stuff. And yet people were glued to this. And they say, looking back, after that time, an interesting thing happened. And that was that the number of people in the United States who started to be interested in their own family history, who started to see, hey, is there a way that I can find out if I can trace the roots of my family? And I read there's a blog where a whole bunch of people who actually are professional genealogists say that this is where they got their start. No matter how old they were at the time, something in them spurred something. And you think, why? What was it? What was it that captivated people? You know, I think it's that deep thing in the human heart. Who am I? Where did I come from? What made me the person that I am today? What things in my history, in my genealogy, in my life experiences, I can even say what part of my faith set me on the journey that I'm on today, but who am I? And so this thing happened. It was phenomenal, but it also, it spoke to something in our hearts. So today I'm going to talk about roots because botanical things, stuff that grows all throughout the Bible, it's imagery that's used. And I think it's imagery that's used because it's timeless. So remember kindergarten? Okay, I don't know. My kids did this in kindergarten. I did this in kindergarten. My daughter's a teacher, and she still does this. You take the bean seed, and you take the paper towels, and you take the clear container, and you keep that paper towel wet, and you begin to see from the seed go the roots. And it's fascinating. And, eventually it dies. It doesn't grow perfectly well on paper towels. However, we start from the time we're little kids. We begin to understand how things grow, that seeds are sown, that roots go down, and that depending on the strength and the health of those roots, something grows. Bert and I have flower. Hey, greetings from Birdies in Vancouver. Sorry, I don't think you said that either, did you? I'm going to step aside from the plant for a second. I'm Bert's in Vancouver. He is, Bert's my husband, for those who we have not met. He's pastors here. He is preaching tonight at our Every Nation Church in Vancouver. So their service is at 3 p.m, so 6 our time. Pray for him if you think about it. Yes. Bert and I have gardens, flower beds, and amazing flowers. But, you know, with our flowers also come roots. And here's things I know about roots. Weeds. Everything has roots, but we have weeds. And sometimes I'll walk in the backyard and a weed will have gone from nothing to this high. And I'm out there with a shovel. And here's the thing I know about weeds and I know about pulling things out is that if you just cut the top of that weed off, tomorrow it's going to be there again. But you got to go down, dig and deep and pull that thing out. So we have pictures from childhood on of how things grow. And the Bible has lots of different comparisons to who people are and how our lives that are related to stuff that grows. So here's one, Psalm chapter 1. David, the psalmist, he compares us, people. He says that we can be like trees that's planted by streams of water and yield fruit in season, and everything we does, and our leaf does not wither. Psalm chapter 1. Jeremiah said this. He said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water, sends roots out by the streams, does not fear when heat comes, for the leaves will remain green. It's not anxious in drought, and it doesn't cease to bear fruit." So even us as people, believers, those who set their faith and trust in God, we're compared to a plant that when the roots go down deep, something really good grows up. In the book of John, John writes about fruitfulness in chapter 15, and he talks about us bearing fruit. Paul writes in Galatians about, he describes the good stuff in our lives, the good stuff because of our faith as fruit of God's Spirit working in us. Also, though, there's warnings about stuff. You know, if seeds don't go deep, stuff withers up and dies. Jesus talked about this in what we call the parable of the sower and the seed. John the Baptist, who came before Jesus, he said, "You got to watch it, because if your plant isn't good, God's going to chop it off with the axe. You know, the axe is laid at the roots," I think is what he said. So some pictures are beautiful and some are like, ooh. Here's one from Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says this, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And by it, many are defiled." So even the things that could be dark and troublesome in our life are also described as something that when you think about how deep roots can go, and then you understand, wow, yeah, if something dark and deep is in my life, I can see how that thing could grow up and cause problems in a lot of different areas. So we're going to keep in the back of our mind today as we do our final message in Let's Talk. We're going to think and examine perhaps some of the roots in our own life. I hope it's a time where you can think. I'm going to tell you some things about me, but I tell you things about me not just so that you get to know me, but so that you can maybe go, yeah, I understand. That may not be my story, but my story is like this. That may not be my story, but my story is like this. We don't just tell stories for the sake of entertaining you and telling stories, but hopefully that there's that human connection that you go, yeah, I get that. So we've talked about mental health and Let's Talk Month. The first Sunday, Bert talked about disillusionment and how sometimes we have an illusion. We have an idea of how something's supposed to be in life, and that doesn't go exactly the way that we thought, dreamed, hoped. And a sorrow and a sadness can settle in there. And what do we do with that? And how, with God and with others, we take steps forward. And then Pastor Greg Mitchell, our friend from Vancouver, was here. And he talked to us about isolation. It plagues a big city like Toronto, that even in a crowd, you can feel lonely and alone. and on your own, and on your own in the struggles of life, and having no one you can talk to or engage with, nobody there for you. And Greg did a great job of saying, God created us for relationship. He said it wasn't good for man to be alone. He said, God said, I'm going to make him somebody. I'm going to make him a companion. And God gave Adam Eve. But that's, God didn't make us to walk alone. And then Pastor Dr. Greg said, but in that, what do we do with our relationships? Because if we look for relationships with other people, if we look to those to be the thing that all our significance and security and strength come from other people, we've missed it. Because that primary relationship is with God. Last week, Richard tackled the idea of anxiety and something that all of us at some point in time are anxious and have those sleepless nights. And he took us to the book of Psalms because God's not afraid of your troubles. He knows what's on the inside of you. You know, sometimes you think, I can't talk to God about that. Hey, he knows. He knows what's in you. He knows what's going on. And when we look at the book of Psalms, we see David and the other authors of those beautiful prayers and hymns. They didn't have any trouble. The word is lamenting. They didn't have any trouble bringing their lament or complaint to God and saying, I don't get this. I don't understand, but you're still God and I trust you. So disillusionment, isolation, anxiety, things that perhaps at different times and flows in our life, we just face. We talk here at Every Nation GTA, we just use this thing, the four chapters. I should do a test and see who can name them, but I won't. We talk about the creation that God created everything perfectly. We talk about the fall of mankind, that sin and brokenness entered into the world, and we live in that broken world today. We talk about Jesus the Redeemer, who came and paid the price that we can have hope. And then we have the future hope that one day all things will be made right. Well, because we still live in chapter two in a broken world, we are going to have times of anxiety and disillusionment and depression. There's going to be things that we struggle with in our life. But today I want to look at the things that maybe are a little more chronic. You know, when you have a chronic illness, it's persisting for a long time. It's recurring. It may come and go a whole lot. And, you know, there's times in life when it isn't the momentary anxiety of a relationship that you take the thing to God and you go and there's actually progress, but it's the anxiety that perhaps resurfaces over and over again. Or maybe it's the struggle with addiction. And when I say addiction, people always think the big ones, drugs and alcohol, pornography, things. But even the little things, what do you go to for comfort over and over again? Maybe it's food. I mean, that's a big one in North America. We go to food for comfort. I like food, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I like it too much. But what am I looking to? Where am I going to ease the inside stuff? And that can be an addiction. I know someone really close to me who, in all honesty, and you will laugh, but has a shopping addiction. That when things aren't going well in this person's life, they go shopping and spend money that they don't have to spend. That's a problem. So sometimes the disillusionment, the anxiety, the depression life, it's chronic. In other words, it keeps resurfacing. If you have a chronic illness, you may not be sick every day, but that thing, something might trigger it, and you're suffering. So what do we do? I heard somebody a couple weeks ago, I was listening to something, and I just loved this. He said, we all have a not-so-perfect story. We don't have a perfect story. Nobody does. We have a not-so-perfect story. We have stories that include some heartache and some brokenness and some grief. Oh, we got great things. We have joy and we have blessing and we have things that we can celebrate. And we also have things that that challenge and break and hurt. We're complicated. We're complicated beings. There's not one thing that makes us who we are. The intrigue of the story of Roots was the ancestry of that family. And gee, where did I come from? And I've spent a lot of time studying my family ancestry. So if you ever you want to know, I can go back a whole lot of generations. I can go to the early 1800s in my family and the early 1600s in Bert's. If ever you just want me to entertain you, but usually other people, it's like family movies, right? It's only exciting to the person whose family it is. So, but there is that. And some of my ancestry makes me who I am today. My ancestors made a choice in the 1800s to settle in this new land called Canada. And some of being Canadian makes me who I am today. And some of the genetics, I have my father's eyes. But, you know, the other thing that makes me who I am today are the things in life, the journey I've been on. And sometimes, no, I'm not even going to say sometimes. For all of us, there's parts of our journey that were hard and painful, and they did help one way or another make us into who we are. We're complicated. We see one person on the surface. Here I am on the surface, and yet the roots, my roots, what makes me who I am, it's so many different things all working together or not working so well together. So here's some thoughts. Maybe trauma, things that have affected us in life. Maybe trauma. Maybe you were, you never knew a parent. You never knew. You were raised by a single parent. You never knew one. You lost a parent at a young age. Maybe you were the child of divorce. And as much as we want to say that, well, you know, there's a way to divorce and your kids can still be happy. No, divorce, a psychologist will tell you, affects kids. Maybe you suffered a serious childhood injury. Maybe you were hospitalized for some time. Maybe you were bullied. You know, when I was a kid, we used to just call it teased. I'm really, really glad we don't call it teased anymore. Because when somebody uses their words to put you in a box or to inflict harm on you, that bullying is the only way to describe it. Maybe you were adopted. That has its own story and its own challenges. Maybe negative words, maybe things were spoken over you as a child. Maybe unknowingly or maybe knowingly by an adult. Oh, she'll always be that way. Or, oh, she's my chubby child. Or, I mean, my mother wanted a boy and I'm not a boy. And she had two girls and a boy and I was the last one and she wanted a boy and I'm not it. And, you know, I loved my mother. But she didn't have to tell people for the next 45 years that I was supposed to be a boy because I don't think God wanted me to be a boy. But, you know, I don't think she said it lightheartedly, but, you know, that had an effect on me. Maybe I wasn't wanted or maybe I wasn't good enough because she wanted this and she got that. You know, and sometimes it was said to me in a lighthearted way and about me in a lighthearted way, but I think all of us have had that moment, what seemed to be one person's joke or funny words. Ah, a seed went in and maybe a root. And maybe it affects me and the way I live today. Maybe you grew up in a home where there was substance abuse or addiction. Maybe you had a parent who struggled with mental health, a mom who was depressed, a dad who, you know, the anxiety of life weighed him down. Maybe you grew up in a perfect home. You know, perfect homes are really difficult to grow up in. Maybe you had an older sibling that just did better than you and all your life you got compared to that person. My four kids, oh gosh, they're perfect. My four children are pastors' kids. Now, this probably isn't so predominant here, but my kids grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, which everybody knows what a pastor's kid is. And pastor's children are supposed to be superhuman. They're not supposed to struggle with the same thing other people's kids do. They're not supposed to run around in the church. They're not supposed to, they're not supposed to jump off the stage. It was fun when you were four to go flying off the stage. Pastor's kids were not, they were supposed to be superhuman. My kids were sinners just like everybody else's, and they still are sinners in need of a savior. And yet they grew up with knowing that there were people who thought they were supposed to be the superhuman children in the church. Growing up in a perfect Christian home where maybe there's been things that have always looked one way, and you just feel like, I don't fit. I'm different. I'm not perfect like the rest of them because I know what's on the inside of me. And if anybody ever knew what was on the inside of me, what would they think about me? And would my own family reject me? And so maybe here's one for all, probably almost everyone in this room, not quite, but a lot of us. So I raised third culture kids. What are third culture kids? Well, they're kids who grew up in a country that their parents weren't born in. So Bert and I are Canadians, born in Canada. We raised our kids in the United States. Most people think, same, almost, Canada, U.S., same. My kids grew up in a different culture. Amazing things they have in their life because of that. Life experiences and abilities to adapt. And yet, as kids, there's struggles that go with that. Do I fit here? What does it take to fit in? What does it look like? My culture at school is this. It's very different than my culture at home. Are these things good, bad? They just are. They just are, and they're part of who we are, and they're part of the rootedness of who we are as people. What's your story? What lies below the surface of who you are? Do you know? Are you brave enough? You know, it takes some courage to look and to see, who am I? Why do I struggle with this? Oh, not the momentary, I have an exam tomorrow and I'm anxious and I can't sleep. But the things that perhaps you just can't shake them. Three scripture verses. The first one is from Psalm 34. Here's what we know about the Lord. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. This is the God we serve. This is the Jesus who paid for us. He's near to the brokenhearted. And he saves. He does not crush, but he saves the crushed in spirit. Here's one about us. In Proverbs, it says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, or New American Standard says diligence. Keep your heart. Know what's going on in your own heart. Know who you are. Know. Take that journey. Learn and know what's on the inside of you. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So what flows out of you comes from what's inside of you. And here's my favorite for this morning. Galatians 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know the law of Christ? When Christ summed up the law, there were two parts to it. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when we live a life where we bear one another's burdens, where we walk arms linked, hearts linked, we're actually fulfilling the law of Christ. We're loving God by loving others, and obviously we're loving others. Bear one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ. So we see three things. We got a God who cares about us. He's close to us, even in the broken places inside of us. We see that we need to know what's in our heart. We need to keep watch over what's in our heart because that's where our life flows from. And we need to be there for one another and bear one another's burdens. I'll tell you a story about me. So a couple of years ago, so for those of you who don't know, actually 7 years ago this week, somebody had the crazy idea that Bert and Sheila should move back to Canada. Now, I was pretty settled, happy, and content in my Nashville life. I was not thinking about moving, but somebody said, wouldn't it be great if you guys moved back to Canada and really just saw Every Nation Toronto become what God wants it to be. So the last 7 years of my life, I had lots of ups and downs and pressure and stress and change. And here we are. We've been in Canada 5.5 years. So in the midst of that, there was some stress. You can imagine. There was some grief. You know, as much as we knew we were on the journey, we felt like this was the path God had for us to come back to Canada. I had a life, a 14-year life, that friends and a home and some kids that stayed in the United States. So So there was grief and there was stress and there was pressure and it was harder than I thought it was going to be. And about maybe 3 years ago, Bert and I were sitting in a restaurant with some really good friends, and the one friend said something and I lost it. Okay, like, I don't think of myself as a hot-headed, blow-up-at-your-friends person. This is someone I've been friends with for more than 25 years. And sitting in a very nice restaurant, I put that person in that person's place. I did a good job, too. So it was really upsetting to me because there was something in me. Now, let me back up a little bit. Here's something I know about stress and pressure. Stress and pressure does not create cracks in your foundation. I think it just reveals them. So when we're walking through some things, Jesus said, in this world, there'll be tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. When we're walking through the tough stuff in life and there's pressure on, it doesn't necessarily crack and break us, but sometimes it shows stuff on the inside of us, some roots that we need to dig down into. So I was very... I said some unkind things to a good friend. And I went to my counselor. I have a counselor. Awesome. I went to my counselor. I said, what is happening to me? Like, I am falling apart here. Here's what I did. I began to tell her what it was said and what triggered, you know, what I said back in response to this person. And she did say he probably needed to hear that. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about you. And she knew me. She knows me. She knew me well. She knew my story. She knew the bits, the roots, the parts that make me click and the things that I struggle with. And she began to tell me, to help me to see why it was that at a very dear friend, in a moment of great and intense pressure, I became something I didn't think I was. And the interesting thing is it had happened before, about 4 months before that. So I had two of these with two different friends. And, so she began to take me into who I am because she knew. She started asking me questions and she reminded me of things. And so let's step back 40 or 50 years. I'm old enough that I can do that, man. And, you know, I grew up in a home that my extended family had some pretty significant problems with alcohol. And we'd be at family events and people would be drinking and they were nasty. They'd fight playing cards. They'd fight. You're a little kid and that's really scary. But you don't know it's scary because you're a little kid and it seems normal and right, that's just your family. And but the thing that did in me over years, okay, it did two things. No, probably did 20, but two things that I want to pull out. One was to this day, on any personality thing, I score really high on empathy. You know, empathy is just, you can understand what's going on in someone's heart, head, brain. You read people well. That's really awesome. And you know, we like to do that with bad stuff in our life. We like to say, oh, but look at this really good thing that came out. I'm really grateful for the empathy. But the reason I'm empathetic is because as a little kid, I didn't know this as a kid. I'm looking with adult eyes. I had to be able to read a room to know if I was safe or not. And so I developed an ability beyond my years to figure people out. And it served me well in adult life, but it wasn't a very healthy place to be as a young kid. So that, the good part, empathy. The bad part was I've learned lots since then about what gets triggered in your brain when you don't feel safe. And there's really good stuff that God put in there, you know, hormones and things that start firing that your body, you know, like the people who can lift a car off of a person with that, with the strength that they probably never would have had. And you hear those stories, but your body starts releasing chemicals, does stuff. Well, I've learned over the course of blowing up at two really good friends that I read a guy, he calls them the fire alarms, but I like to call mine my smoke detectors. So I have smoke detectors that go off when there is no smoke. And it's in my brain and it goes, you're not safe. And in that counseling appointment, my counselor said, stop for a minute. What was going on in your physical body when you were chewing out your friend? And I said, well, my heart was racing. My stomach was doing that thing that your stomach does. You know that one? And my palms were sweaty, and my throat was getting dry. And she said, understand, that's what happens when you're in danger. Your physical body was overreacting to the situation you were in. And she said, because of your childhood, if you get backed into a corner, you might react like that. Oh, lights go on. I see the roots of something in my life. You know, I'm not stuck there, because as I've taken that journey and I understand something about myself, I can say to people like my husband, my smoke detector is going off right now. You're going to have to help me, because I am safe and nobody's out to get me. And I'm not a little girl who's in a situation she can't escape from. So just a little story about me, but roots of something that affected my adult behavior that took kind of a really bad situation. I have apologized to those two friends and made things right and told a bit of my story. Here's why. Here's who I am. My smoke detectors. So we're doing a series, Let's Talk. We're finishing up this series. And one of the things that we want to do is just say church is a safe place for us to stand up here and talk about anxiety and talk about depression and talk about our own journeys, understanding our own heart and talk about these things. It's about let's talk. Let's address these things. But the other thing in that let's talk is that I want us to be a place where we can talk, where it's a safe place, where you have one or two. You don't have to tell everybody your story, but you have one or two people in your life where the roots of who you are, the dark sides of the things that you struggle with, you've got somewhere to go and somebody to talk to. You know, sometimes it's professional help, and sometimes it's the need of a friend and of a shoulder and of an ear. And a friend that doesn't say, well, stop it. You know, sometimes that's the Christian answer. Well, you know what the Bible says, so stop doing that. It's the friend who's willing to say, what does it look like together to see if we can figure out the root of that? To take that journey onto the inside of you. Because you know what? Stop it doesn't work. Oh, sometimes there's things you need to stop. But for long-term, stop being anxious, depressed, and sad. No, let's take the journey together into our hearts. Let's talk. So here's what we need to do. Four things. One is you need to know your story. And you know, to know your story, you kind of have to be brave. Because sometimes we don't want to admit things. We don't want to look there. It's painful. Sometimes we don't want to look at the childhood things that affected us. Sometimes we don't want to say, yeah, when my parents divorced, I've buried a lot of things, but it's time. It's time to face that pain. So we need to know our own story. We need to say, okay, an aside. It really bugs me. There's a few songs I really like. One is a song that we sing. I don't think we sing it here very often, maybe. But we sing, you make me brave, you make me brave. And you take me out on waters and things, and you make me brave. You know, to be brave, you have to face danger. You don't just magically get courageous and brave. You got to go places where you need to be create courageous and brave. So to know your story and to understand who you are, and maybe to understand the things that chronically plague you. You need to know who you are. You need to know the condition of your own heart. And then tell your story. We need places. We need somebody in life who I can tell my story to, who I can tiptoe into those dark places. And you know, our greatest fear is if you knew this about me, you wouldn't love me anymore. If you knew this about me, you'd reject me. If you knew this about me, that would be it. You'd be gone. And even in our closest relationships, that's even often the journey of marriage. I won't go there, because if he knew that about me, that would be it. So tell your story. We need places. We need a place or two places or three places where we can unpack, in all honesty, the brokenness of our own heart and our own soul. And then learn to listen. When someone takes that step to tell you their story, to tell you their pain and brokenness, recognize that it's brave and courageous. And say thank you. Wow. Thank you so much for entrusting your life, your heart, your story to me. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that about yourself. And then I can't fix anybody. I can't fix you. But, gosh, what can I do to help? How can I be there for you? Is there some way I can help? So thank you. And how can I help you? And then the final one is be a safe haven for people. I want people to know that if they disclose and tell something to me, that that's where it ends, that nobody else is going to hear about it, that I'm a safe place, that they can tell me their story, that I can listen deeply. And listening deeply isn't formatting in your head how you're going to respond to that person. Listening deeply is listening to their words, their heart, their story. Know your story. Tell your story. Listen deeply. Say thanks. Thank you for trusting yourself to me. Be a safe haven. When I was a kid, there was something, it still is in Canada, this block parent thing. And parents could, or homes could be approved. You know, you go through a police thing and you could get this sign for your window that said you were a block parent. And if anybody was in danger in the neighborhood or felt unsafe, they could go to that house and know that it was a safe place for them. A block parent thing started in London, Ontario in like 1970 or something. I want to be that safe home that somebody can run into. I want to be a safe haven for people. By way of reminder, as we close here, since throw in a Tim Keller quote because I love to throw in Tim Keller quotes, but here's one of my favorite. When all is said and done, when we take this journey, when we look into our own heart and soul, here are the words of Tim Keller. Really, the only eyes in the universe that see you to the bottom love you to the skies. You know, it's that place of security in the gospel, in the good news of who Jesus is, of the fact that he paid the price for you, knowing your messed upness, knowing your brokenness. He chose to do that before you were even born, that he's not surprised by what makes us who we are. He sees all the way to the bottom, and he loves us to the skies. Finally, usually, often when we speak, we open up with a passage of scripture. Today, I'm going to close with one, and I'm going to close from Isaiah. And this was a prophetic picture that Isaiah painted of Jesus, of the Savior, the Messiah, who was to come. Isaiah 53. Who has believed what he has heard of us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, Jesus, grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the ground. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, this is Jesus, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their eyes. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we're healed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you know us to the deepest part of our soul. You know who we are. You know what made us be who we are on the inside. And yet you loved us, and you chose us, and you set us apart. And Jesus, you went. You paid the price. You took this upon yourself to bring the healing and the peace on the inside of us through what you did on the cross. We are truly grateful. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.